December 3rd, 2021, it's Watt for Pedro Show. for Pedro Show. Happy Friday. And make it, well, let's say this first. John Coltrane doing Lush Life, because I had Ivan Julian on last edition, and he said he was listening to that, and he liked it, so I said, fuck, I'll play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good record. Good song. Yeah, I think in the old days, right, 78s were like, they were like 45s, so it was a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, the gradient after that, with incursive recursions. And you probably could tell, unless I'm doing a real good Charlie McCarthy thing, I am not Man Alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. Again, Kyle Brookman, welcome back aboard, and so glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm psyched to get another round here. Yeah. Last time we had so much fun, we barely got me out of high school before we ran out of time. So.
That's right. Well, we can improve on that, but... Let's hear about incursive recursion.
Oh, man. I wanted to start with that. That's not my latest recording by a long shot, but it's a project that I've kind of been pining away for recently. Degradient was a thing I started a few years ago now when I'd been living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I moved out here in 2003, and for the first several years I was out here, it's like I got to play a lot of amazing music with a lot of incredible people, but everything was kind of one-offs and side projects and like kind of day job gigs. You know, I make a living playing classical oboe and new music stuff in lots of different settings. But for the first few years, I was still like...
Talk about oboe in a different setting. Andy McKay and Roxy Music.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. So I like for a while, I was just still flying back to Chicago and trying to keep afloat the projects I'd started there before I moved. There's a group called Rack that we'll get to a little bit more later. You know, still really love those folks, love that music. But there was this idea of like, why the hell haven't I started a band in the Bay Area yet? What's wrong? And Degradient was the first attempt to do that. And of course, it instantly got compromised instantly because I chose a saxophonist who moved to Copenhagen.
hard to have a Bay Area, at least for the prac.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So like at this point, Degradient's been kind of dormant for, well, obviously a lot of shit's been dormant for the last 2 years, but, I'm hoping to get back to it because I miss those guys. I miss that energy of a band, right? Like right. I've been doing a lot of other people's music these days and a lot of solo music, yeah. But like, you know, yeah.
The idea of the ensemble.
Exactly.
I think the goal of the ensemble is to make an interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that. I mean, yeah, Train Files is like, kind of competing monologues, but you actually got the ensemble going. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And at this point it's really just like anything that involves that rhythm section that involves Jordan Glenn on drums and Jason Hoops on bass, yeah. I'm willing to call it Degradient at this point. So it's kind of become a little bit more modular, but just the energy and the rapport that those two guys have is just so beautiful. And it's just, I'm always just cracking up and grinning from ear to ear, just hanging out with them. So, I'm looking for excuses to get that going again. We'll see. We'll see what it turns into.
Okay. Okay. Let's pick up. We just got out of high school.
That was a little college, a little, but yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Okay. So, what, are we going through the kind of timeline a little bit?
A little bit. It's you know, of course, we're playing all this stuff that you flowed me now and stuff, but we did run out of fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, so, just the quick version. I mean, college was in Houston. That's where, you know, where I first saw you. I guess we could say we met, but we're college radio and started a band called Lozenge that I think we'll end the show with, at least if you.
No, I got chicken shit.
Good. Yeah, and that band was just, like, that was my life. That was, those are my, that's my family, you know. We, we graduated, well, we graduated slightly different times, but we quote unquote broke up in 1994, and went to various places. A couple of us, went to grad school. But basically we, in 1996, we kind of, you know, we had been throwing darts at a map and talking to each other over what at that time in 96 were like our first email accounts, you know, trying to
decide. Was it AOL hell?
No, it was actually, like, there was one guy in the band, Mark, that one of the drummers, was the one that had an actual, like, what at that time qualified as a tech job. And actually, there, we, oh, God, yeah. Well, okay, we moved to Chicago. We were kind of choosing a place to reform and get the band back together. We all moved into a house. And for a while there, like, all seven of us who lived in the house shared the same email account.
Yes, of course.
Right? I mean, just think of that now. It's like every
like
one of
us. Like the one peanut butter jar with everybody's fucking name
right.
written on it.
Right, right. It's like now we probably, each of us has seven email addresses. But, you know, then.
No, I remember my first one, fcom.com.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because, well, the AOL, they didn't want you outside of that. They wanted you in a little corral.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that one was actually 7@surfnetcorp.com was the address for all of us in the house. Yeah, and you know, Chicago was just an amazing place to be young and stupid and underemployed. I mean, when we got there in the mid-90s, everything that came to be known as post-rock was just starting to explode. We were really excited about the intersection of the free jazz and the free
press.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know those guys personally.
You know, a lot of them moved to SoCal.
Yeah. But they were super active when we were there, and they were like a big pull for the whole scene.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And just at the time, there was so much amazing overlap and interaction between various subsets of the underground. You know, it's like you could pretty much count on everybody being in a noise band and being in a free improv ensemble and doing session work on indie pop records. And we really flourished there, and it was an incredible time. I'm actually kind of, Peter Margasak, he's still a wonderful music critic, and he was a big force in the little bit of press that any of us could actually get in town at that point.
Yeah, but Chi-Town had a good thing, right? The Reader?
Oh, yeah, exactly. There was like this triumvirate of the college radio stations, right? WNUR out of Evanston, WHBK, University of Chicago. It's like all these radio stations and the Reader and a bunch of the venues and the promoters were all cooperating.
Yes.
And it just made it so incredible. Yeah, it made it just an incredibly exciting time and place to be where, like, you know, I could get my feet wet and make up for lost time figuring out the entire legacy of the AACM and just all of the jazz that had come through Chicago over the decades, and that rubbing elbows with noise rock and with the first kind of laptop-free improv projects were just starting to be explored then.
And, you know, that's where, you know, reading the John Sweat book,
mm-hmm.
Sun Rock came up from Birmingham to learn, yep. You know, yeah, Fletcher Henderson and that shit, playing strip pads, but he got schooled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play Used to Dance.
Okay.
Great song.
Totally different direction.
That's all right.
get, and you don't want, don't want what you get, and you don't want, don't want what you get, and you don't want, don't want what you get, and you don't want what you get. Don't want what you get.
Watch for Pedro Show, that chunk of music. Used to dance, Kyle Bruckman. Wizard, SLWCC Watt. Bombers Prendon, Going to the Circus. Alliance from Sabla. Bootstrappers. This is the version after, because me and Georgie were part of the first one. Harmalila, but this one with Melvin Gibb. And, yeah, he can play. BBJR and SLW, here's Sam Lockward again, Iowa City, but with Bob Bucko Jr., Drifting the Void. And then finally, Kyle Brookman, Irreproducible Result C1. God damn, we ran out of time. Talk about these tunes, all right, in the next okay. hour. People.
All right, yeah, because those two are like, you know, after... You know, starting off talking about how much I missed Gradient and how much I missed the energy of being in a band and working regularly with the same folks. Just, you know, for kind of obvious reasons, the last couple of years have been very much about solo work. You know, I've kind of been stuck at home. I'm lucky to have a pretty amazing studio set up, and I've just been digging in a lot harder into electronics and into solo work.
Yeah. Kind of putting the oboe down.
Yeah, and so it's like kind of working
backwards.
We'll
talk about that, though. We're at the end of first hour, December 3, 2021. Just watch Pedro's special guest, Kyle Brookman. Hold tight for hour two. December 3, 2021. It's second hour. Watch for Pedro's show.
Thank you. and our breath don't ever smell. She puts the bottles in the bottle bin before she meets the kids, and then teachers never seem to know. Her eyes are heavy lid. Jeannie's husband doesn't know this either. Turns the old blind eye, same way he turned a deaf ear to her when she told him, when she told him she liked to do. It's a drink that's killing Jeannie.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, so isolationist?
Everything is the onset,
the onset of symptoms.
Mosquitoes and
organisms.
Burial mounds.
Consider the dung beetle.
Or caves, bats, spiders.
Or caves, bats.
Persephone complained.
Pluto.
No, I do not wish to receive a complimentary t-shirt or travel bag.
No, I do not wish to receive.
Carry on items.
Is the north wind gumption and
the north wind.
Gumption
of the north wind,
mushing
and
flan.
In her diary entries,
the diary entries,
the
silences of history,
withstanding love or moments in space,
the silences of history.
Radiation,
standing love,
the Midwest and white
and white flight.
Things,
beauty.
Things to fear include maniacs, terrorists.
Sugar,
carbon
monoxide,
kidnappers,
rabies,
winter weather advisors,
meteorites, and
authorization.
To the heart of the matter.
Love passing and passing through. Now that everything has been documented,
passing
for free
drive.
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 Elements. festival,
paper trippings,
old things,
old stamps, coins, memories, artificial memories, and
artificial memory.
Artificial memory.
Certainly space travel. When persistence argues ineffectively.
Recording evidence of unity.
Swelling, sometimes a tremendous respect for labor and labor.
Years of believe in arrangement.
The client sends for a call. The dream begins by erasing. Return for life. You never display the proper gratitude.
Orbital lights. Never display.
Cease or desist.
Cease or desist.
And pageantry or formal affairs.
Pageantry of rating object.
Personalized. License plates. Tempo, duration, modulation.
Phoenix.
Or manual. Phoenix.
Life force.
Life force. Life force.
Push button.
Charging falcon or push button convenience. Touch is exceptional.
Is
so stressed out.
And
data on the planes of aliens. Now the encrypted men
produce nationalism.
Encrypted men produce
individuality.
Individual.
Consider the
firm. Film the
advertisement. Dromedary or camel.
Believe in screensavers. The silent majority. And general well-being.
Yes.
Yes.
Convenient.
While men are lasting.
Lasting.
Thanks.
Dear everyone, give
weight loss tools a try.
My
impresses on affirmations of cruelty. The management oversees end of the
year
blowouts and debauchery and such
at all
costs.
Believe in truth at all costs.
Meritocratic ideas.
Greed, disdain,
supremacy, spite,
and
meritocratic
ideas.
The image of itself.
Dear
everyone.
Dear
everyone.
Afternoons can just get away.
You just
get
consider bed sores or last rites.
And sadness.
And sadness.
And energy.
And share subsistence.
I should have been a fact-checker.
I've been a fact-checker.
This brings me to number
1821.
The sun is the moon.
Hatha Yoga.
Hatha Yoga.
Anywhere you
can.
The detective returned with an image of the police.
With an image of a police street.
With an image of
the police street.
And John Doe said,
lack of passion.
Lack of passion.
Shoe fits,
nearly
or the
condom, and
or
the parks,
wines, brochures,
and
theme park.
When Bobby missed the point,
reply all.
Reply all.
Splutter.
Best. Splutter.
Dear.
Way.
Imperialism is really not fair.
Dear.
But
provides
made by free re-education.
Is really not
or
post-productions.
Production.
Or post-production
self-help.
Niche
market.
Being superstars.
Everything else.
Renaissance contributed to this.
And Renaissance,
I should have been to
out of
context.
Out of context.
I should have.
We'll be right back.
for Pedro show. We started second hour off with the lonely death of a quasar. Nothing to do with Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll people. Although one off-air head to fucking Brother Kyle there, we live a fucking little boy thing with him. Okay, Springtime after that, Genie in a Bottle. That's some super group from the Joyful Noise people. And now it's Slovenia, but used to be part of Yugoslavia. This is, in fact, when this was recorded, 1987. Pali me se shema. Sorry for butchering your language. But in English, they gave me the translation. My semen is burning. Tobakova kush de peshi. Okay. And then we have... Okay. Here's some fucking East Bay brutal noise effect mm-hmm. group, sound effects crew or some shit like that.
Anyway, yep, yep.
Paravascular rake, claws, scratch, and zinc, radio... plexopathy tanks. James Drake, Harper, and Robert O. Smith, which has probably fucking nothing to do with Grux, okay? And
all it does. No, couldn't possibly.
No, yeah.
Definitely has to do with the brutal sound effects.
Yeah, absolutely. And Improv after that, which is, I think, Don Trump's new website, right, Truth? And then this, it's called Listen. Actually, the Improv is some Chicago people, Hal Rammel, and Linda Binder. And it's a great fucking comp that came out. Yeah, what's his name? Brett Goodside. Great cat. And JMY. Uh-huh. And he put, we're going to build a better tomorrow. He made this comp with beautiful fucking music all from that town.
And yep.
No, Al Margolis is on there, and he's Chester, New York. So maybe some immigrant or visitors. And then finally, Degradian again with Elements. Include. Okay, so we got to catch up on Pink Mountain. We got to catch up on this solo thing you did with the Irreproducible Results you want.
Yeah.
And then Used to Dance.
Okay. Well, let's do it in chronological order, shall we? I mean,
I used to order you flowed me.
Just in terms of, you know, my life.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be always in terms of your life, brother.
Yeah. So, like, Pink Mountain, like, after what I was saying earlier about missing being in a band, Pink Mountain was a glorious attempt to do that. It was a wonderful joke and a really improbable kind of collision of energies, like five very, very strong personalities, definitely kind of, you know, I'm going to coin one of a phrase I got from Weasel Walter. It's like a who's who of who gives a shit, basically. but it was, that band was put together by a guy named Scott Rosenberg, which is where the name came from, if you got your German cranking. And he had this crazy idea. It's like, I want to get like some of my favorite improvisers who also have a foot in noise rock, and I want to get them to like clumsily accidentally make some really counterintuitive rock music. So
so
Scott was the one who put that together.
Yeah, kind of a setup, right? Like somebody who puts together a troupe of actors.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was me and Gina Robert mostly on drums, John Sherba on guitar and bass, and Sam Coombs on guitars, basses, keyboards, vocals. Sam's in a band called Quasi. Well, he is.
Janet Weiss.
Yep. Exactly. So it was that band, Pink Mountain. It's pretty freaking ridiculous. We put out two records, both of which are self-titled. I think we played maybe six gigs and had two rehearsals. So, you know, it was a completely absurd joke that shouldn't have worked, but we're all still really giddy about what we were able to put together. And that second album in particular, I mean, God, talk about shooting ourselves in the feet business-wise. That came out only as a double LP gatefold. So
yeah,
we didn't make a CD of that or anything, you know. And I think you can find it on all the evil streaming platforms now. But
look, before we get into the Kyle Bruckman, you gave me some more Kyle Bruckman.
Yeah,
Flight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's listen.
Okay. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music. Kyle Bruckman. Fight Flight. And then My Daddy Ate My Eyes. H is for Harpoon. Out of Eugene, Oregon. Ray Shin. Ordinary Light. And finally, this is like Polish with no vowels, huh? Michniks.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Was that,
yeah,
close? That was that close?
Yeah, it's
the
German.
The oligarch's dialectic fraud.
Yep. Yeah, so that one, Machniks, we're, again, we're being smartasses. It's German with no vowels. That's a purely analog electronic.
I should say Welsh, too. Welsh has a lot of consonants without vowels.
Well, there should be vowels. We just took them out.
You know about that. The old the Tanakh, the old Hebrew. Yeah, that's why you can make anything out of their things, because there's no vowels.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Lance and I were trying to utter the true name. But, So that band is me and Lance Grabmiller, an old friend from the Bay Area. He was one of the first people I started working with regularly when I moved out here. And, you know, we're both, you know, creepy old men who were totally deep into the industrial scene when we were in our younger years. And Machniks is kind of a project where we let that rip a little bit. You know, we're not exactly dropping in Bat Cave disco drum beats or anything, but that kind of nasty, snarly approach to early industrial music and old pure analog electronics. That's what that one was really about. And the track you started with, the Fight Flight, that goes together with a couple of the others, with Used to Dance. Was there another one? I don't know. But at least a couple of the tracks I gave you this time
another
around.
Another one, Irreproducible Result C1.
Ah, okay. So that one, the Irreproducible Results, that came from a series called Technological Music, where, again, I was being a smartass. I was kind of doing solo electronic
exploration. Artistic expression, you're allowed. There's context.
Yeah. So that, like, those albums.
It ain't
albums.
All Carlson Tucker.
God. Let's leave him out of this.
Backward on purpose, brother God.
Yeah. The technological music albums were me trying to kind of incorrectly make techno. Right, it's like I want to kind of.
You read the recipe wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been something I've always kind of been into. The creative benefit that you can get from self-imposed limitations, right?
Pilot and, error.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, the band I had in high school, we were trying to, you know, we talked about this last time, right? It's like trying to be like a hardcore band, but we were using synthesizers,
yeah.
Right?
Although, you know what? You were actually right up there with the pioneers in the Hollywood scene with Screamers.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know that, right?
Didn't even know it until years later, right? We hadn't heard any of that stuff.
And, shows to go you.
Yep. So the Irreproducible Results, that was from a couple of albums I made several years ago where I was like, okay, I want to kind of reinvigorate this dormant love for nasty industrial music and techno and, you know, the sort of things I used to dance to when I was much younger and when, like, you know, going to clubs was actually not a terrifying thing to attempt.
The same band that made Hamburger Lady put out a record called 20 Jazz Funk.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. And that believe me, that blew my teenage mind when I heard that. I didn't know what
shit,
the hell.
It blew Watt's mind too.
So yeah, a lot of, like, you know, what I've been doing the last couple of years has been just kind of trying to deal with that period in music history and, like, just that kind of reinvestigating the, like, just how clumsy and hideous can one get with using electronics in a way that's not so clean and in the box. You know, it's like in my teaching life, I do a lot of, you know, teaching basics of digital audio workstations, Logic and Pro Tools and stuff like that. And it's like, you know what? It's important to have those skills, but I want to use electronics to make a mess. I want to use electronics to get places that I can't get.
I totally feel you. The only one electronic band I liked that was fucking clean and econo, crack.
Uh-huh.
Crack.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
They're the one.
Yeah.
They're the one. That, everybody yes. else, I want to mess, too. Look
yeah.
at the end of yes. the second hour, December 3rd, 2021, the Dish Watt Peter Show special guest, Kyle Brookman. Hold tight for hour three. December 3rd, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Wow.
prawns. Go court a net, a tender maiden, and hope that he will be your bride. For I have been warned, and I decided to sleep alone.
I think my mother was so brave, Jessica. You know, and if you know what was going on in 1950 with unwed mothers, you would think she was the bravest person you ever knew. Because for 9 months, and I'm going to cry, for 9 months, she carried me and nobody knew. Nobody knew until the day I was delivered. She didn't tell her father for almost 3 years.
So Granny never told you who your biological father was or what he did. She went to the grave with that secret. She had your birth certificate sealed.
What's fine with me, Jessica. Mm-hmm. My mother didn't marry him for a reason. You can read history about it, and it was a terrible time for women. Please. You married for money? You were kind of chattel. Something was wrong with you if you didn't get married. I just think my mother was so brave and so strong.
Swat for Pedro show start off the third hour. Large Gatherings, Kyle Brutton. Out of the Blue. Of course, I had to play fucking... And with John Wetton on the bass. Oh, man. I know he was an Asian people, but fuck, listen to that, man. Just don't look at the video where you see the fucking... what do you call that? Body shirt and a designer jean and the blow dry cut, whatever they call that. Okay, Roxy Music with John Wendt. Live at Tulsa Noise Fest. Klein Quartet, Scotty Irvin. Yeah. And just got to record. I sent him a bunch of files in Makoto. Kyle Bada sent some from Japan. Just Joy after that Silver Dagger. And then finally, Kyle Brookman, Mind Blight. Yeah, you were talking about. You know, what to learn your students.
Yeah.
Like to serve as examples. Now, you probably have buttloads of shit to serve as bad examples.
Yeah, I mean, mostly what I've been doing in the electronic music classes I've been teaching this semester is like, you know, it's a lot, like, the students are amazing. They're all super creative and like, yeah, but they've grown up on video games and movie soundtracks, and their conception at this stage of like what electronics are for are to make, you know, the sounds that they associate with, you know, epic drama and action, right? So it's like, okay.
Your comic book.
Right, right. It's like that, you know, I get that, you know, that energy. In that, but that, like, that should be an orchestra. That's the sound you need.
I right? can't if watch comic book movies. I can't. I just yeah, can't. I fucking can't. Yeah. I'm sorry, Brother Kyle.
That's all right. You don't have to. Right?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Nobody's going to make it. But I, you know, so I'm always encouraging them to like think about what electronics do that other instruments can't, you know, and the pioneers of electronic music.
Okay, this is what I wanted to ask you, even before the synth, like cutting on tape, Delia Derbyshire. Do you ever turn them on to her?
I actually didn't get to her in this class, and I'm kind of sad about that. I was trying to get the school to buy a copy of Sisters with Transistors so that we could screen it. But it didn't happen. Maybe next semester.
Because she thought the synth was actually Mersch. She thought the real shit should be cutting tape and wrapping around doorknobs and chairs and shit, right, man?
Yeah.
I had some dudes I've had on the show, they actually still do music that way where you're rapping. It's so fucking analog.
Yep. And you know what? Like my journey with electronic music, with playing it, again, was just a total frickin' accident.
Yeah,
and I was using the wrong tools in the wrong way.
Right.
When I was in high school, I was buying like an amp and a speaker cabinet out of some dude's garage, right? And this was 1988. So in 1988, analog synthesizers were violently out of fashion, right? He had a mini Moog that he threw in for $25. Okay.
Jeez.
So that's how I started playing electronic music. I had this instrument that is now worth a couple thousand I bought.
Yeah.
You know, I bought it for $25 and I bashed it around in punk bands.
It's monophonic.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to me, it was like, oh my God, this thing.
A voice is a voice, right?
Right. It's raw and it's nasty. And what really cracks me up, if you want to get into the weeds of the geekiness of, you know, like where electronic music was in the late 60s, you know, the Moog is like the epitome of the quote unquote East Coast synthesis style, right?
Right.
But I instantly started trying to play it in a way that was influenced more by what I'd heard. Well, you mentioned Throbbing Gristle, right? Like that and things like
Morpheus the Bach.
Was
there
that?
Was Sleazy, there was Genesis, but I think the main synth guy was a guy named Chris, who was married to Cozy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, he made the Gristleizer and everything, and you can still buy mock-ups of that instrument. You know, it's there. Yeah, so just like that kind of nastiness was combining with stuff that I was starting to become aware of from, like, the San Francisco Tape Music Center. People like Pauline Oliveros and Morton Sobotnick and Ramon Sender.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and now I'm out here on the
Daddy,
West Coast.
You know, the big daddy was Wendy Carlos.
Yep.
And he was kind of using it like a keyboard.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, what Wendy
Mr.
did was amazing.
No. Mr. Spotting, no.
Right, right.
It was
and
like,
that's
like
the joke,
rubbing right? on a fucking balloon right to get him.
Yeah. So, right this second, I'm sitting in my office, you know, in Stockton, California, downstairs from a Buchla 200E that for some reason the school owns, right? And I get to play around with it. I get to teach on it. And the whole concept of the Buchla is it'll do some stuff. Find out, right? You know, it's like,
yeah, bring it.
You know, it's like they deliberately didn't put a normal piano keyboard on it because they wanted humankind to evolve new ears, you know?
I'll tell you, the first time me, D. Boone, and Georgie went up and saw the Perubu at the Whiskey, Alan Ravenstein did not have a keyboard. He had two boxes on a table.
I just listened to your talk with him on the way on the drive out here tonight. Like,
beautiful
that was
man.
Good this
beautiful
morning. It was so amazing. Dude.
But, you know, I had never seen that done.
Yep.
And there was always some fake keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
Even Alan Lanier and the Blue Oyster Cult. It was going to be some. But Alan Ravenstein made it come in with rock and roll on its own terms.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, a few of the tracks that you've played, the Mind Blight, Fight Flight, Used to Dance, all of that is part of this project that just came out last month. It's called Mesmeric's Hindsight. And again, being a smartass, we put it, you know, my friend who runs the label and I, we put it out as two separate digital releases that you can, you know, find separately, but you can also buy the cassette, which is a double album. And the cassette will get you download codes and it costs less than buying the two digital albums.
Creative.
Yeah.
Look,
but the whole thing is like made out of shards of things that I recorded with the Buchla here, with my Mini Moog back home, with a bunch of Eurorack modules, a bunch of broken pedals that I borrowed from friends. And it's, you know, it's a very purposeful.
But no oboe.
Mess. No oboe at all. Yeah. And that was partially just a decision. You know, it's like, I'm going to try this because you know, my oboe is also my life and my identity and my day job. But, like, let's try something else this time.
Yeah,
right?
Music is music. Jesus.
Yeah.
Look, and speaking of which, here's another proj, Rack.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Waste Part 2, The Crying A Lot 49. The shortest book by Tommy Pynchon, people.
Exactly.
And it's, but it's very funny. Look for that little dude with the Trump and the stamp. Rack. Yep. Overhaul. Reaching for the stars. Filing. Lozenges with chicken shit. Enlighten us, Brother Kyle.
Well, the Rack, I mean, you're exactly right. That whole project, that's the shortest Thomas Pynchon novel. It's the shortest movement of a sprawling suite that is all based on his first three novels. So the first movement's the third movement is Gravity's Rainbow. And that was an attempt to like bite off something far huger than I knew I could ever chew. But I've been like, ever since I read those books in college, I've been trying to figure out how to approach it as a musician.
You know what? There's a lot of rock and roll, Oedipus, yep. Right? The radio DJ and.
Yeah. And in every one of those books, there are lyrics all over the place.
That's right. Right?
So that's where I started.
I heard he was way into the dance.
Oh man, okay. I didn't know that. I mean, I also know that, like, I've heard that he always, like, wished the heck that he had gotten an opportunity to write a musical. Like, he was a real, still is, he's a real dork for American musical theater, right? So what I did with that project is I took all of the lyrics that show up in Crying of Lot 49, and I took not all, but a bunch of them that show up in the other two novels.
You know, at the same time, are you aware of the Luminous trilogy? Because they're making fun of rock and roll bands too and shit. I wonder if.
Oh, wow. Like
they, okay. Yeah, I think because in the moment they were speaking to each, there was something, and in fact, it was big time in the city there. Discordian. Huh. Discordian with Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley.
Okay.
You know about the Principia Discordia?
No, I don't.
You know about Emperor Norton, right?
Oh, yes. Well,
they celebrated that man. In fact, they everybody could be a pope. They made this whole fucking mockery kind of trip, but Kerry Thornley actually served Lee Harvey Oswald in Japan with the Marines. I mean, it's some tripped out shit on that. And look, we're victims of a lot of conspiracy QAnon bullshit and everything. But the Discordians, what they did, they made a prank out of this. I think the grandstepson was Subgenius, the Uncle Bob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
These were the cats, and they started in the late 50s, and it was mainly through the 60s. Instead of internet, they used a mimeograph.
They all contributed
to this thing called the Principia Discordia.
Okay.
And Watt got turned on to this right when punk movement hit me. And so it was part of the good thing of the hippie thing where there was still humor.
Yeah.
There was still satire and irony. Mm-hmm. And that was mixed with this new movement that was anti-arena rock. And I think that's fucking what got Watt into this.
I got to check that out because that's also... Yeah, that's right on my
check
mind.
At the bottom of the Hoot page. There's a link to Hail Discordia.
They're called
Discordians. It was a very, very small movement, but I think they had a big... Like what Ick told me about the Beat Guys. There wasn't many of them, Watt, but they had big mouths.
Yeah, that's I trip out about that a lot because that's such a huge part of what I love about Thomas Pynchon is that kind of that panicked humor with just assuming that like everything is evil and insidious and there are conspiracies everywhere. And I made that album several years ago and it actually like that's one aspect of it that kind of makes me cringe a little bit in retrospect. It's like right now, you know,
but
illogical
conclusions
aren't funny anymore.
He might have been having fun with the culture because that Philip K. Dick was spinning out on this shit with the Vallas.
Right, right. And now somehow this has been co-opted and it's been turned into...
It's like an option to have an identity and live a life.
Right, right.
It ain't just something you like check out and you add to your vocabulary. Now, I found the way.
Yeah. You just believe whatever the hell you want now. And that's, oh, God. But yeah, I mean, you know, that aside, that Rack project was such a huge undertaking for me. I'm really proud of it. I should at least finish the punchline that like all of the melodies, all the pitch content in that whole piece, like all the stuff that's improvised, those are all like I pretended that the lyrics that Pynchon wrote were actually songs. And I wrote melodies for those songs and then kind of figured, what if there was a parallel universe in which the Great American Songbook and all the beboppers were writing jazz tunes that were based on Thomas Pynchon songs rather than Cole Porter and George Gershwin. So that's what that whole album is about.
Don't forget Billy Strayhorn.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking about like the idea.
No, those are beautiful things. No, I understand. Yeah. I think in their case, they didn't have a lot of time to practice, so sometimes they just get together. You know that song? Okay.
Yes.
Let's jam on that song. I think it was some kind of a lingua franca thing, so they could just have something in common. Look, you got to fucking enlighten me to Chicken Shit by Lozenge.
Well, I wanted to end with
you
that.
You want to go out strong, right?
Yeah, and you know, we started the first show with Lozenge, and like I said, like that band was where I cut my teeth creatively. I still love those dudes. It's what set in motion everything I've done creatively ever since, you know. And that was from our last album that came out in, 2005. That was so long ago. What else can I say? I mean, we.
Well, the guests hold sway on the Watt for Peter, so you get to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Lozenge was just kind of where I learned.
No, there's a lot of paths, I think, Brother Kyle, to get to where we are now.
Yep.
And a lot of meat planned.
Yep.
But still we got here. And then, Ishmael, Mr. Melville's, lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for your next installment. And when you get together, will you come back on the show and we can have another fun thing like this?
I would love that. I would be honored.
Beautiful. Thanks, beautiful. People, December 3rd, 2021, Dish Wap Pedo Show. Keep your pirate.